The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, Second Canto, Chapter Number 6, Text Number 8, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on January 21st, 2016, in Austin, Texas, USA.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Apam,
apam,
viryasya,
viryasya,
sagasya,
sagasya,
parjanyasya,
parjanyasya,
prajapate,
prajapate,
umsa,
umsa,
shishna,
shishna,
upashta,
upastas,
tu, prajati,
prajati,
ananda,
ananda,
nirvite,
nirvite,
apam viryasya sargasya,
apam viryasya sargasya,
arjanyasya prajapate,
arjanyasya prajapate,
pumsa shishna upastastu,
pumsa shishna upastastu,
prajatyananda nirvite,
prajatyananda nirvite,
apam viryasya sargasya,
apam viryasya sargasya,
arjanyasya prajapate,
arjanyasya prajapate,
pumsa shishna upastastu,
pumsa shishna upastastu,
prajatyananda nirvite,
prajatyananda nirvite.
Apam viryasya sargasya,
prajanyasya
prajapate,
pumsa
shishna upastastu, prajatyananda nirvite,
apam
viryasya sargasya,
prajanyasya prajapate,
parjanyasya prajapate,
pumsa shishna upastastu,
prajatya ananda nirvite,
prajatyananda nirvite.
Apam viryasya sargasya,
prajanyasya
prajapate, pumsa shishna upastastu, prajatyananda nirvite, apam viryasya sargasya, parjanyasya prajapate, ananda nirvite, apam
of water,
viryasya
of the semen,
sargasya
of the generative,
parjanyasya
of rain,
prajapate
of the creator,
pumsa
of the Lord,
shishna
the genital,
upastatu the place where the genitals are situated, prajati, due to the getting, ananda,
leisure,
nirvite,
cause.
translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. From the Lord's genitals originate water, semen, generatives, veins, and the procreators. His genitals are the cause of a pleasure that counteracts the distress of begetting. Report. The genitals and the pleasure of begetting counteract the distresses of family and conferences. One would cease to generate altogether if there were not, by the grace of the Lord, a coating, a pleasure-giving substance on the surface of the generative organs. This substance gives a pleasure so intense that it counteracts fully the distress of family and conferences. A person is so captivated by this pleasure-giving substance, he is not satisfied by getting a single child, but increases the number of children with great risk in regard to maintaining them simply for this pleasure-giving substance. This pleasure-giving substance is not false, however, because it originates from the transcendental body of the Lord. In other words, the pleasure-giving substance is reality, but it has taken on an aspect of furtiveness on account of material contamination. In the material world, sex life is the cause of many distresses on account of material contact. Therefore, the sex life in the material world should not be encouraged beyond the necessity. There is a necessity for generating progeny, even in the material world, but such generation of children must be carried out with full responsibility for spiritual values. The spiritual values of life can be realized in the human form of material existence, and the human being must adopt family planning with reference to the context of spiritual values and not otherwise. In a graded form of family restriction by use of contraceptives, etc., is the grossest type of material contamination. Materialists who use these devices want to utilize fully the pleasure coating of the genitals and the pleasure coating on the genitals by artificial means without knowing the spiritual importance and without knowledge of the spiritual values. The less intelligent man tries to utilize only the material sense pleasure of the genitals. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Pada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishatam Vitam Shcham Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nidhishesha Shunyavadi Paschapya Deshatharine. So this is actually a very, very important purport. Therefore today we are recording it, this class, because this is the greatest distraction from Krishna consciousness, sex desire, due to the pleasure-giving substance on the surface of the generative organs. And people become mad after stimulating the genital. Whole life is based on sex pleasure. The whole life spins on this point of sex pleasure. Prabhupada confirmed is actually true. Freud was correct. Sigmund Freud was correct. The whole material world is going on the basis of this sex desire. But they don't utilize it according to spiritual values. Therefore, they use contraceptions and they engage in abortions, which are both sinful. The contraception is also sinful because when the male injects the semina into the female, there's actually a living entity in the semina who's not getting his chance to move into a nice apartment. You see, he's been in the lower species of life, And now he's finally he's got an opportunity to take a human form. He's getting him to move into his body. He signed the lease on the apartment. He's all ready to move in. He's qualified now to enter the apartment. When he goes there's a block. He can't get in the door. The living entity has qualified himself as a human form. Now he's entered in the womb of his new mother, getting ready to develop his body, and boom, there's a wall. He can't break through the wall. So contraception is very simple. It presents a living entity who actually deserved to get a human body. He's actually on his way in to get the body. He gets there and boom, there's a wall blocking it. He can't get it. So the karma of those who engage in contraception is they will face a similar fate in the future. They will not be able to get a body because even though they were supposed to get a body, they'll also be blocked by contraception from getting a body. The birth control pill is the same thing. Whether it's a prophylactic or the birth control pills, in either case, the prophylactic, the door blocking it, the door is completely blocked, and the birth control pills is like trashing the apartment. You move in, somebody had gone in and trashed it, maybe lit a fire or something, and literally trashed the apartment so it's useless. So birth control pills are prophylactics, or they call condoms, and they are all sinful. It's very simple to use those things. They should never be used by devotees. And then, of course, the most sinful thing is abortion. The child actually takes birth in the womb. He's developing a body, and he's murdered. The poor little thing is murdered by the parent. They have the child murdered. So these are all the reactions of unrestricted sex pleasure. One should only engage in sex when one desires to have a child and raise that child to be a lover of God. Otherwise, one should strictly remain brahmachari, not engage at all in sex pleasure. And we have our regulations in Krishna consciousness to get progeny. Baba told that the householder couples that if you want to have a child, first you get to your spiritual master's permission and blessing. So having a child, that's step number one. Without those permission and blessings of the spiritual master, there's no question of sex pleasure. So you get the spiritual master's blessings, number one. And number two is you chant on the most fertile day of the month, after the menstrual cycle. The husband and wife both chant 50. That's 50, not 15, but 50. Both chant 50, and instead of doing 16 that day, you chant 50 rounds of japa. Husband and wife both, and then you engage in sex to produce a child. That's it done once in a month only until the lady becomes pregnant and there's no more sex at that point. Brahmachari again. So this is the actual instructions that our spiritual master has given us on how to utilize sex properly in the service of the Lord. Now, if one does not want to follow these rules and regulations, then one should just stay brahmachari. Either as a married couple, you can remain celibate, that's acceptable, or maybe even get married. There's no reason to get married if one can maintain brahmachari. Of course, Prabhupada said he wanted all the men to stay brahmachari and all the women to get married. He said that is the dilemma. But somehow it always works out. It's worked out pretty well that every woman who wants to get married, she ends up getting a husband. Prabhupada actually also said any of his disciples would be good cooks, would learn how to cook very nicely and be very chaste, he would personally arrange them to get a Krishna conscious husband. So even that happened in one case. There was one girl that Prabhupada movement. He chose a boy from one of his female, one young girl disciple, and it was a very happy marriage. Mm-hmm. Rabbi completely arranged the whole thing. So this is a very important point because we're carried away by sex desire. It's the most distracting thing. People go crazy over it. They engage in rape. They engage in murder, and so many horrible things, just because of this uncontrolled desire to satisfy the genitals. So people think it's inconceivable how they can give up sex. It's just it's inconceivable to them. But the reality is that this sex pleasure is a very inferior type of pleasure. Very, very inferior. Even though it's the number one pleasure in the material world, factually speaking, it's a very, very inferior pleasure. This is why the Bhagavatam says, Yan maitanadi griha medhi sukham mitu cham. That sex pleasure, which is considered the number one pleasure by the materialist, is actually insignificant, 10th class pleasure at best. So how does one actually realize that this sex pleasure is just like, you know, 10th class? You know, spit on it. Spit on this sex pleasure. No need it. Just spit on it. How does one actually make that a real thing? And you can theoretically say that, but actually feel that, that sex is insignificant, no interest in it. The only one way to do it is described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Vishayagvanivaratante nirahashyadehina varshavarshanivasopyashtaparangvasvanivaratate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. So somebody may artificially give up sex and try to be a brahmachari, you see, but they're still lusty. Their still mind is still disturbed by lust, even though they're holding themselves back from it. Their mind is still disturbed by it. So that's artificial. But when you actually get a taste better than sex, you see, you taste something more pleasurable than sex, then that's called proper renunciation, or genuine renunciation, or real renunciation. So that's what Krishna consciousness is. Actually, there's so much nectar in Krishna's name described by Rupa Goswami. Tunde tandamani vateng vitanete tandavali lavdiye karna krutika dammani gatayate kunebade vrispaham chetapangana sangini vijayate sarvendriyanam pitim o jane janita triyadir amite krishneti varnadvai. Rupa Goswami says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna produced. Because when I vibrate Krishna, the person Krishna is literally dancing on my tongue, and there's so much nectar oozing out from Krishna that my one little mouth can't hold that nectar. I need millions of mouths to capture those oceans of nectar which are coming out from Krishna. And when I vibrate Krishna, the sound vibration enters the holes of my ears. There's so much nectar. I need to have billions and trillions of ears to capture that nectar coming out of Krishna. And when Krishna dances in the courtyard of my heart, I'm stunned. I'm paralyzed in a state of transcendental ecstasy. So this is how one gets free of sex desire. You simply have to learn how to relish Krishna's name. If you can relish the name of Krishna, 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 you can learn how to relish this unlimitedly sweet flavor of Krishna, you see, then all material desires, including the topmost of all material desires, sex pleasure, is go flying out the window. Who needs it? It's like somebody, if I give you a $10 bill, let's say I give you a $100 bill, you go, oh wow, $100 bill, I can use this. Say, I'll give it back. You may give it back. You go, oh, buddy's going to give me a $100 bill. But I give you $1 million. So I tell you what, I'll give you $1 million. Give me the $100 back in exchange for $1 million. Oh, no problem. Here, take your $100 back. $100 is nothing, you see, compared to $1 million. So sex pleasure is a $100 bill. It seems to be very attractive. Oh, $100. $1 billion. Okay. Krishna consciousness is $1 billion. Yeah, I can give up that lousy $100 bill. Give me $1 billion, no problem. You see? So once you actually get a taste of Krishna consciousness, then, you know, what is that sloka from our Jamanacharya Alpandriya? Yadavati mama chaitanya Krishna, Krishna Vadaravinde, Nava Nava Rasadama Munyata Ramtum Mazit, Tadavati Bhattanari Sangames Maryamane, Bhavati Murkashushkuna Stevanamcha. Ever since I've been relishing the sweet flavor of Krishna consciousness. You see, this is an interesting verse because this person, Jamanacharya, he was formerly a king in the Vedic times, and they had harems. These kings had harems with all these beautiful young girls. They could have sex at will. They had a whole harem. So he was a Vedic king in those days. But now he's become a sadhu. And he says, ever since I have tasted the sweet pleasure of Krishna consciousness, whenever my mind thinks, somehow flips back to that idea of enjoying sex pleasure, because of my past activities, you see, flips back, my lips curl with this taste and I spit at the sun. So that is actually Krishna consciousness, when you can spit at the thought of sex. Not that you spit on the opposite sex. We don't hate women. Women are our mothers. We love them. That's why we call them mother, because mother is not an object of sex pleasure. You see, mother, you love your mother. You bow your mother's feet. That is your mother. She's not an object of sex pleasure. So that's why in Vedic culture, every woman is my mother. Now they're trying to train it to Prabhus, but this is not the Vedic system. The Vedic system is, she is my mother. Or Prabhupada in India, they introduced sisters. No. Prabhupada said mother, the girl. In Vedic culture, every woman who accepts her wife is called mother. That's the Prabhupada taught us. She can be older than you, equal age, or even a young girl. They're all mothers. Because that way, I will never think that I can enjoy sex with this woman. This is, she just says, my mother. That's all. I can't even think about having sex because she's my mother, my mom. I would never think of having sex with my mother. And only a perverted person would think of, a grossly perverted person would ever think of having sex with his mother. So in this way, the Vedic culture is very, very wonderful because it trains you in such a way that you can become liberated from this sex desire, which is called the Hridaya Granthi, the hard knot in the heart that binds one to this existence. So this Krishna conscious movement means you can wake up to our actual identities as spiritual beings. You see, sex pleasure is simply on the bodily plane. The pleasure of the body. It has nothing to do with the soul. So, and it's not really you. It's just like if you go to the feast and there was a nice Krishna Prasadam feast and you, instead of putting the sweet rice in your mouth, the kheer, you know, in your mouth, you just put your shirt sleeve in the kheer. Now, can you enjoy the kheer by putting your shirt sleeve in it? Are you enjoying the kheer by putting it in your mouth? So, it's not that you can enjoy it putting your shirt sleeve in the kheer. So, the body is like your shirt sleeve. Sex life is like putting your shirt, material sex life. Now, if you're begetting children for Krishna, that's transcendental. That's spiritual sex, when you're beginning children for Krishna. That's different. But when you're just trying to enjoy sex pleasure for the sake of sex pleasure, that's like putting your shirt sleeve in the kheer and trying to enjoy the kheer by putting your shirt sleeve in it. You can't really enjoy it. In other words, the real point is sex is not really enjoyable. It just seems to be enjoyable. It's illusory pleasure because it's simply on the bodily plane. You're not that body. So any pleasure the body you get is actually not satisfying the soul. You see? The soul does not become satisfied by the pleasure the body enjoys. The soul only becomes satisfied, and the soul is the actual person. You are the soul, you're not your body. So whatever pleasure your body gets is illusory pleasure. It's not genuine ananda or transcendental bliss that's tasted by the soul. So right now, completely false. We have nothing to do with this body except to use it in Krishna's service or to abuse it for sense gratification. You have your choice. You can either use your body properly, which means engaging in devotional service, or you can abuse your body by engaging it in sense gratification. If you abuse your body, then you're abusing yourself also, because you're divorcing yourself or separating yourself from Krishna, who is the source of your existence. And so why cut yourself off from the source of your existence? Does that make any sense? It's like here you are in the house, you turn off all the power to disconnect from the powerhouse. So there's no heat in the winter, there's no light, there's no air conditioning in the summer. Would that be very intelligent to cut yourself off from the powerhouse? That's what we're doing in the material world. We're cutting our... Krishna is the powerhouse. See, Krishna is the powerhouse. And we're cutting ourselves off from the powerhouse by not engaging in devotional service, by forgetting Krishna, not remembering Krishna, not obeying Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita. Yat kuroshi yat asmati yos dahosi dadati yat tapasya shikam daya tat padusam adarpanam. We're completely neglecting Krishna's instructions. Krishna says whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering unto me. Why are we neglecting Krishna's instruction? It's due to bad association. We have a world where the dogmatists are being called scientists. Actually, they're not scientists at all. They're dogmatists. These dogmatists, they say, that everything came out of nothing. There is no God because everything came out of nothing. They're not scientists. These are dogmatists. What is the proof? My dear dogmatist, if you, so-called scientist, if you say that everything comes out of nothing, then prove it in your laboratory. Take nothing and get something out of it. Just show me one experiment in your test tube. Show me one experiment where you can take nothing and get something out of it. It's never been demonstrated by any so-called scientist. They'll never be able to do it because it's impossible. You can't get something out of nothing. The fact is that everything comes, just like this lectern here, this lecture stand, it's made out of wood, which came from a tree, which came from the sea, which came from another tree, which came from another. In this way, everything has a source, and you go back to the original source. That's called Adi, the origin in Sanskrit. Adi. So, what is that origin? And we can study the nature of that origin. Some say, yes, there's an origin, but it is formless and impersonal. We can study that origin. And we can ask, is that logical that the origin would be formless and impersonal? If I told you that every day I brought you 1 kilo of pure gold, that's worth a lot of money. I gave you 1 kilo of pure gold every day. Every morning I came to your house. It's like the milkman used to deliver milk every day to the door, you see. Every day I come in the gold man. Every day I deliver 1 kilo of pure gold to your house. You're going to be a millionaire very soon. 1 kilo, you know how much a kilo of pure gold is worth? A lot of money. Every day you get 1 kilo, and you say, okay, well, Sankarshan Prabhu, where are you getting all this gold? This is wonderful. I mean, I don't have to worry about working anymore. I can retire now. I can pay off my debts, my family's debts, my friend's debts. I can build a huge temple here in Austin, a huge multi-million-dollar temple in Austin with all this gold. So where are you getting this gold from anyway? Well, I got a gold mine. You do. Wow, how much gold do you have in that gold mine? I say, well, there's no gold in the gold mine. Now, wait a minute. How you can say there's no gold in the gold mine when every day you're getting 2 kilos or 1 kilo of pure gold out of that gold mine? 2.2 pounds. You have to have gold in your gold mine. So this is an example. There's an existential mind, the Adi, the origin of everything, is an existential mind from which everything has come. So just as there are so many personalities and so many forms existing within the emanations from that existential mind, therefore that existential mind, this is the gold mine, must necessarily possess gold. The existential mine must necessarily... Is it an it? If something has a personality, is it an it? Or is it a person?
Person.
It's not an it. It's a person. So Therefore, Adi Purusham, the original person, is the original person. And there's a great personality named Lord Brahma, who was the engineer behind this universe we live in, and he actually realized who was that original person. And he wrote a beautiful prayer. He said, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamahamavajani. I worship that original person, Adi Purusham. His name is Govinda. And I worship him. So this is the key. When you actually reconnect with that original person, then you become re-situated in your original spiritual nature, which is full of knowledge and full of bliss. In other words, you are qualitatively one with God. You see, you are not of this material world. You are not a creature of this material world. You are qualitatively one with the Supreme Person. He is eternal, you are eternal. He is full of knowledge, you are full of knowledge. He is full of bliss, and you are also full of bliss. That's your nature. You are full of bliss by nature. So right now, we don't experience our nature. We experience by misidentification with this material body. We experience temporality, illusion, or ignorance, and suffering. So that's called asat, sat-chit, nirananda, temporality, ignorance, and misery. That's what we're experiencing right now because we have disconnected or divorced ourselves from that person who is the very source of our existence. So this process of Krishna Bhakti, taught by Lord Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita, which is a manual to help psychologically diseased person come back to psychological health. Arjuna had a nervous breakdown in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And Krishna is a psychiatrist, a psychologist. He brought him back to his natural, original, sane consciousness. So this Krishna consciousness process taught by Srila Prabhupada and being taught by the members of ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is the process of how to regain sanity. Because in this material world, everybody is insane, misidentifying with their material bodies. So this process of Krishna consciousness is to bring you back to sanity, to bring you back to your original consciousness in which you have a loving, an intimate, loving relationship with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. So we're requesting everyone throughout the world to please take up Krishna consciousness. The principles you can practice. If you're a Christian, you can call it Christ consciousness. We have no objection. If you're a Muslim, you can call it Allah consciousness. We have no objection. But the scientific technique of bhakti can be applied to Hinduism, to Christianity, to Judaism, to Sikhism, to Islam, or to Buddhism, or any particular ism or religious designation can apply the science of bhakti as taught by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. And one can become a perfect Christian, a perfect Hindu, a perfect Jew, a perfect Sikh, a perfect Jain, a perfect Muslim, etc. So in this way, the Krishna consciousness movement is the ISKCON, and going on under the name of ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, can and actually will bring about a spiritual revolution on this planet, because the day will come when people wake up and realize that Prabhupada is the perfect spiritual master who knows how we can have perfect peace in the world. It's actually predicted by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that day will come when the whole world becomes Krishna conscious. Such janma durjanma pangu jadda anagama premadvanyaya duvibhala jagatada jana. This Krishna consciousness movement is a tsunami, a prema tsunami, and will inundate the entire world, drowning everyone, whether they're lame, invalid, pious, impious, or blind. Everybody will become inundated in this tidal wave of love of God. So the ISKCON devotees, we are actually surfing on that wave right now. That wave is coming in, and we're surfing on that wave right now. Prabhupada's teachings are the surfboard, and Lord Chaitanya's movement is the wave. And we're surfing on the wave of Prabhupada's teachings of the surfboard and on the wave. And we're this movement is bringing in a new wave, you see. Many years ago. There's a new age coming in. Dun, dun, dun. The Chaitanya era. I had a whole song about the Chaitanya era. So the Chaitanya era is coming in. It's a new age of spiritual enlightenment. Coming in the middle of this horrible chaos, you see. Chaitanya era is now coming in to save the people from their misery, from their ignorance, from their suffering, from their cruelty, from all kinds of environmental pollution. Everything will be cleaned up. The air is going to be cleaned up. The water will be cleaned up. The most important thing is our consciousnesses will be cleaned up. Right now, our consciousnesses are dirty with lust, with anger, with greed, with madness, illusion, envy. So this Krishna consciousness movement is clearing out the lust. It's clearing out the anger, clearing out the greed, the madness, the illusion, the envy, the fear, which is polluting our consciousness right now. This movement is cleaning it all out. It's like you flush the toilet and clean all that crud out of the toilet. This is flushing away all the dirt from our hearts. This chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Completely purging all this garbage out of our hearts, and purging all, it will eventually purge all the garbage out of the global society and bring a beautiful age of peace and prosperity for every man, woman, and child on the face of this planet, in every town, in every village, in every hamlet, in every mega city. Everywhere people will be chanting Hare Krishna, and they'll be glorifying God, and this will become a gigantic, wonderful celebration going on every day of transcendental bliss. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Let's see if we have any from the internet.
Yes.
I have one here from Shamapriya. Okay, let's see here. Okay, does the lust in a person also come from actions from previous births, or is it already there as soon as we enter a body of any species? The fact is, there's lust that brought you into the material world. You see, your original state is pure love. But when that pure love becomes mixed with a mode of passion, it transforms into lust. This is described in the Bhagavad Gita, Kama Esha Krodha Esha Radhagana Samudbhavaha. Described in the Gita, your lusty feelings that you have, either as a boy or a girl, you see, it doesn't matter, it's the same thing, just in two different perspectives. The lusty feelings you feel are actually simply a perverted version of love of God, you see. You take love of God and it's mixed with the material mode of passion, it becomes lust. So that lust is what brought you here to begin with. So your lust, you're by very nature in this material, you're a lusty person by nature. And if that lust travels with you from birth to birth. Just imagine being lusty after a male alligator or a female alligator. You ever seen an alligator in the zoo? Do you ever get lusty by seeing an alligator? That we had lust for, as a male alligator, I was lusting after a female alligator. As a female alligator, I was lusting after a male alligator. This is the absurdity of sex of lust. You know, just imagine being lusty after an alligator. Well, we were. As horses, we are lusty after the opposite sex horse. As an ostrich, we are the knobby knees and the scaly legs, you see, of the ostrich. We were lusty after the opposite sex in the ostrich species. We've been running after the opposite sex, you know, like Shakespeare, you know, oh Romeo, oh Juliet. We've been running like crazy after the opposite sex in every species of life. You see? So it's a very deep-seated tendency. But if you go deeper still, you will find Krishna prema. You got to go deep, deep, deep within yourself. You got to go past the lust, past the greed, past the anger, past the illusion, past the envy, past the fear, go deeper, deeper, deeper within the very core of your being, and what you will find there is pure love of God. The spiritual master is your guide to help you get in there, you see. To help you get beyond the lust, the anger, the greed, madness, illusion, envy. Spiritual master is your guide to take you on that inner journey. He's your inner journey guide who takes you deep within yourself. So you actually get... You go back, 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 back. Spiritual master takes you back, 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 back to your original identity in the spiritual world. That's where he's taking you. Takes you back to your original identity of one of Krishna's associates. So that's why a guru is very important. He can take you on a journey back to Is there sex in the spiritual world also? Actually, there is no sex in the spiritual world, although Prabhupada says rarely. There are some very, very rare occurrences of it. Prabhupada actually mentioned them. But is it, in general, no. There's no sex desire there. It's a place. People are not lusty there. They're not overcome by sex desire. They're completely. I mean, there's no. We don't hear that they procreate there, for example. In other words, everybody is eternal youth. It's not that kids are being born there by sex and pregnancy. That's not going on in the spiritual world. So there's no need for sex in the spiritual world. And so it's virtually non-existent then. And let's see here. This microphone keeps falling down. What's going on over here? Okay, there we go. Okay, let's see, another question. It's not needed in the spiritual world, absolutely not necessary. One devotee who comes to my base was asking me how to give up masturbation. It's easy. Every time you feel lusty, just say, Krishna, please free me from this desire. Many boys have this bad habit of masturbating, stimulating their genitals. Whenever you feel like masturbating, say, Krishna, please free me from this dirty desire. That's all. Every time it comes, you just say, Krishna, please free me from this. And you keep begging Krishna and begging and begging and absorb your mind in Krishna. And then you forget about masturbating. It's a very disgusting, dirty thing to do. When the people who masturbate feel very dirty about themselves. So why torture yourself by masturbating? Make yourself feel very miserable. It's crazy. It's stupid. Just pray to Krishna to help you give it up and you'll be fine. Okay, let's see. If we don't control the tongue, can we control the genitals? Actually, if you eat unrestrictedly, the tongue, you see, there's a line. The tongue, belly, and the genitals. There's a line. They're in a straight line. So when you gratify your tongue unnecessarily, then the belly gets unnecessarily stuffed, and then there's a pressure put on the genitals. They say, okay, I'm next. You gratify the tongue. You gratify the belly. Now I'm the next in line. It's my turn. You've got to gratify me now too, you see. So therefore, one controls the tongue by only taking Krishna Prasadam and not by eating insanely excessive amounts of Prasadam also. Not that you have to have 50 gulab jamun, you see. You take Prasadam you take reasonable amounts of Prasadam, and therefore there's not an unnecessary pressure on your belly or on your genitals. And this is where you'll be fine. If you don't control the tongue, it can be very, one can fall down into sex desire. So one has to be very careful, and that's even the name of Prasadam. The Prabhupada says if you overeat, it's no longer Prasadam. So you have to eat Prasadam reasonably, not, you know, like a complete madman consuming, 50 sweet balls or something. Of course, in the beginning, Prabhupada encouraged the boys, 26 Second Avenue. I know Vishnu John Swami also, when he first came to Austin, he encouraged. One boy took about 30 sweet balls, and he surrendered and became a devotee. But then he actually fell down after that, a few years later. But still, Prabhupada did encourage in the beginning to take as much as he told the boys at 26 Second Avenue to take as much as they want. And one boy was taking like 20 chapatis every day for lunch. And then Prabhupada asked them to cut back, and then. Umapati Prabhu, my godbrother, is a little different. He said, Swamiji, you told us to eat as much as you want. Now you're telling us to eat less. How is that, Prabhupada? You didn't have any trouble following the first instruction. So anyway, are there any other questions?
Thank you very much for very, very wonderful subject. Very well explained, really. The world is, as you're saying, that family planning is bad in this one verse we are reading.
So
family, family planning.
Yeah, there's two kinds of family planning. One is good. Spiritual family planning is very good. And material family planning is very bad. And I'll give you an example.
What is spiritual family planning?
There's an organization called Planned Parenthood. And it's in their program is abortion. Contraceptives also. In other words, they say... Only they say enjoy sex as much as you want, but only become a parent when you plan to be a parent. So you enjoy sex as much as you want, and you only have kids when you want to have them by using contraceptives and by abortion. That's called material spirit family planning. Spiritual family planning means you only have sex when you want to have a kid, and that's it. Otherwise, brahmachari, tapasa brahmachari na, jagena cha samena cha. You relish the bliss of brahmachari. Controlling the senses actually is ecstatic. It's nectarian to hold back from sex enjoyment and to give your love to Krishna. You see, it's like that song, you know, instead of loving a dog or a cat, why don't you love Krishna who made all of that? So in this way, you know, give your love to Krishna and you'll get much more pleasure than sex. Sex is some brief pleasure, and then you feel, after it's over, you feel, ugh. It's described in the Bhagavad Gita purport. It's sex pleasure is very nectarian, but it becomes poison. They enjoy sex, and then they're disgusted. It becomes gross and disgusting after a little pleasure, and then like you want to throw up, practically. It's so gross and disgusting. So why have that kind of pleasure, which is poison in the beginning and turns into nectar in the beginning and poison in the end? That's sex pleasure. Okay. Olivia, what if one comes to Krishna consciousness after having children in a karmi lifestyle? Oh, what are you saying? But he has them before Olivia also?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, I got it. The time of conceiving, hundreds of thousands of sperm cells are released, out of which one makes it to the egg, or two makes it, in case of twins. Okay, and then the rest of the question. So my question is, what is the position of hundreds of other souls that were released in the mother's womb but did not receive a new... It wasn't their karma to get one, but their will... It wasn't their karma, that's... It wasn't their karma to get one. Better luck next time. Okay, now Olivia, what if one comes to Krishna consciousness after having children in a karmi lifestyle? Make the best use of a bad bargain. Try to make them devotees. That's all. Whatever is done is water over the dam. Krishna says, Sarva dharman parit yaja, mame kam chadaram vaja, aham kam chavapa pego, mokshishami maashuchaha. Abandon all types of other duties and take one duty only, that is fully surrendering to me. If you do that, I will relieve you from all your past karmic reactions. So, therefore, there's nothing to worry about. Most of us here in America who came to this movement, we all, even in India, of course, nowadays the Kali Yuga is there, but we all came from various degrees of sinful backgrounds. That's okay. That's water over the dam. You take shelter of Krishna, he can relieve you from all of those reactions. So don't worry about the past. Just look forward now. Now you strictly follow this process, chant at least 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra every day, and strictly avoid illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. And try to avoid all the offenses against the holy name. And in this way, you will become a fully self-realized spiritual being, reinstated in your original eternal relationship with Krishna and his transcendental pastimes. Okay, any other questions?
This unwanted population can be stopped because of the family planning. Otherwise, there will be too much unwanted progeny, as we say. Is it good or bad then?
Are you saying it's good to have abortions?
No, not abortions. Contraceptives, let's say.
Contraceptive is another type of sinful activity.
Sinful activity, no doubt. But in this material world right now, where the sex has become the top priority, the teenage pregnancies and all those things can be avoided. So I'm just seeing that...
By engaging in, you may say, well, there's not unwanted progeny coming in the world, but the progeny are here, already here.
Yeah.
They're creating more and more sin, which means they're like this terrorism. This is reactions to sinful activities. These mass shooters, active shooters. If you're victimized by an active shooter, you're getting some reactions from your sinful activities. You see? So it's not that we can solve problems by contraceptions. solve the problem by introducing Krishna consciousness. That solves the problem. Tandems don't solve the problem. You may create less unwanted children, but the people who are using the condoms are becoming more and more demoniac by using the condoms. Every time you use a condom, you're becoming more demoniac. You're turning them into, making them, the people who are here, more demoniac by giving them condoms. You're making them more demoniac. So what have you accomplished? You've increased the demoniac consciousness on the planet by distributing condoms.
Instead of training them in sexual procreation, which is meant for, they are training them safe sex with condoms and this and that.
I know. I was actually many years ago. I took Sanskrit at the University of Texas. The day I went for my final, it was very cold, so I was walking across the campus. On the way to my final exam, and I said, I'll take a shortcut through the Student Health Center. At least I'll be warm for a few minutes. I went through the Student Health Center, and they had a demonstration in the, they had a poster in the lobby of how to have safe lesbian sex. How to have safe lesbian sex. In the lobby of the Student Union, the Student Center there at the University of Texas, they're encouraging lesbianism, encouraging lesbianism in that Student Health Center. So this is the kind of culture we have right now, you see. I just saw.
That's where all the diseases came, venereal diseases, HIV and all kinds of things.
So we really, we have a society that all the songs are about, the music is about sex, the billboards, they even on the years ago on Southwest Airlines, they had all the flight attendants in very short skirts. The skirt, practically, there was nothing hidden, practically. Their dresses were so scanty. And then their motto at that time was sex sells. Sex sells seats. Yeah, sex sells seats. So they had the flight attendants, practically like prostitutes, dressed on the airplane, like prostitutes. Because then there more people flying Southwest Airlines, so they can look at the women's bodies, while they're flying. They had them like prostitutes, the flight attendants. Sex sells seats. And they did. They sold a lot of seeds. So this is what's going on. They're using sex for marketing. They're trying to stimulate, agitate you for sex, 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 sex. They used to have a toothpaste called Ultra by toothpaste when I was a kid. When I was a kid, because we didn't know any better, but their ad was new Ultra by toothpaste gives your mouth sex appeal.
Oh my God.
You see? Is it? Can you imagine? This is how I grew up as a kid, Sex appeal is the most important thing you can have, so you better get Ultrabite toothpaste, otherwise you're not going to have sex appeal if you don't use Ultrabite. So this way the training in there is being pounded into us, and now Bollywood is doing the same damn nonsense, you see? Bollywood are just pounding it in, sex, sex, sex. You want to be good. You want to be have any respect and be appreciated, you got to be sexy. You got to be sexy. You see? The whole culture is training like this, you see. And ISKCON, the whole thing, even spelling into ISKCON, this sort of conscience. So be very careful. Yeah. Yes.
These all kinds of activities who have more the tamas arena,
you see?
More
tamas? Yeah.
So people who are doing
this.
Okay.
Those who are engaged in all kinds, they're all in
a mode of tamas. Yes, it's a mixture of passion and ignorance. The materialists are engaged in, actually, sometimes they become, let me give a complete answer. The materialists are engaged within the three modes of material nature, mostly in the mode of passion and ignorance, depending on the mentality of the person. Sometimes they're in the mode of goodness. They want to do some charity. They want to open hospitals. They want to feed the poor. That's the mode of goodness. But then they go out and get drunk after doing that and go to a prostitute or whatever. That's the mode of ignorance and passion. So these three modes, goodness and passion and ignorance, have completely entangled every single living entity in this material world, all the way from Lord Rama, because he's a pure devotee. He also showed some pastimes of falling under the influence of the mode of passion, for example. He was more tamasic. These are the people like drug addicts or drunkards who just get drunk and lie down in the street. They're very heavily in the mode of ignorance. Now, somebody who's like a real go-getter businessman, wants to, you know, an entrepreneur, he's in the mode of passion. Somebody who's more into poetry or art, philosophy, they're more in the mode of goodness. But everyone is mixed in these modes. The philosopher may go out and get drunk the next day and go into the mode of ignorance also. So that these modes are competing for supremacy at every minute. One mode is predominant at one minute, another mode is prominent in another minute. So people in the material world are going bouncing back and forth between passion, goodness, and ignorance. Mostly passion and ignorance, and not so much goodness nowadays. But a devotee is completely transcendental in all three modes. He's not in the mode of material mode of goodness, he's not in the material mode of passion, nor is he in the material world of ignorance. He is transcendentally situated beyond the modes of nature. That's the Krishna conscious position. And that's what we train you how to do, you see. All of us are influenced by these different modes of nature. So Prabhupada has trained us, and now we're training you how to get free from the influence of these modes of nature. That's our duty. Anything else? Looks like there's no more. We're actually 3 minutes over time. Do you have anything, any wrap-ups you want to do for us today, Guru Maharaj?
Already over time.
Okay, that's the wrap-up. We're already over time. So we'll go ahead and stop here, and we thank you all very, very much for tuning in today. We have 32 people on right now from the internet. We have five of us here, so that's 37 altogether in class today.
I'm so happy Sankirtan came on today.
Actually, I saw Sankirtan and Vraj Kishore on the same channel, so that means 38, actually. 38. Gaura Leela and Vyasadeva, that makes 39. There's two on that one. So, Gandharvika and Jashoda Charan, that's 40. So.
Shivani is twice there.
Oh, okay. Anyway, around 40 people today. We appreciate y'all being on. And we'll look forward tomorrow to a wonderful dynamic class by Her Grace. Shrimati Guru Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.
Gaura Premanandi.
Hare Krishna.